Hi, my name is Matthew Viriapa, an intern at KOSU, and this is your noise warning. Chatpile is an OKC noise rock band that tries to emulate literal piles of waste with their music. I sat down with members of the band, Griff and Randy, who also go by punk nicknames, to talk about the success they've had with their first EP, This Dungeon Earth, despite only having played one show and a town in Oklahoma that has been called America's most toxic town. Here's the interview.
This is Reagan Bush.
I'm Luther Manhole. We're in Chatpile.
What do each of you guys do in Chatpile?
I sing.
I play guitar. That's it.
Yeah. We all write the songs together, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
You guys were kind of giggling as you you gave your names. Like, what's the story behind the names?
Well, I personally, I'm about to be 35 next month, and I've never been in a punk band where I had a cool punk name. Like, and I like so many bands that where they have cool punk names. I was like, man, I want to have a cool punk name too if we're going to do this. So I convinced everybody to do,
Yeah, he super pressured me to thinking of one.
You came up with a good one though, I think.
So it's Reagan Bush, Luther Manhole.
Yeah.
And you have two other members of the band.
Sten and Captain Ron.
Yeah.
And Sten plays the bass. Is that a reference to Sting?
No, but that's cool. I like Sting.
It's just a play on his name.
Yeah. His name is Austin. I've been calling it Big Sten for years. And so, yeah, we shortened it to Sten. Yeah.
What's the origin for your guys' names?
Mine's just a play on Reagan Bush, you know.
Making fun of past U.S. presidents.
Yeah.
And mine's a Longmont Potion Castle reference because I'm not very creative. So I just.
Yeah, but nobody knows that. So yeah. It sounds
cool.
Well,
I'm giving it away right here.
What is Longmont Potion Castle?
It's an anonymous guy who made weird, esoteric prank calls from the early 90s to now. He put one out last year.
You know, there's a lot of people that have been harassed by this guy. I mean, a lot. You know, enough for him to have 6 or 7 albums full of it that he sells for money.
It's kind of not in the same, when I say prank calls, people probably think of the Jerky Boys and all the stuff that's super, I find that stuff really mean. And his stuff is more just extremely weird and esoteric, and the people he calls are just more confused and baffled by what he's doing rather than screaming at him.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Monroe at Tough Shed, and we're going to be out there at 7:30 a.m. to take dimensions and everything.
You got to have the wrong number.
No, I don't.
Where does the band name come from, Chatpile?
Sten thought of it. Mm-hmm. It's actually there's a town in northeast Oklahoma called Pitcher.
Here's everything you need to know about Pitcher, set to Chatpile's song, Face.
Pitcher was one of the best towns in the world.
In 1926, it had more than 14,000 residents.
More than 11,000 men worked the mines during peak production in the 1920s.
For decades, lead and zinc mines surrounded Pitcher in far northeastern Oklahoma.
That's in the Tar Creek Superfund site.
That's because dangerous metals were seeping into Tar Creek, just as they are today.
About half the metal the military needed in World War I was produced here.
Which is one of the most toxic places, I think, in the world, not even just in America. A place where they did lead and zinc mining, and there's all this, there's these huge piles of this waste called chat.
The mining companies were supposed to restore the land they excavated, but most just piled the waste they created on land surrounding the town.
They're not just little tiny molehills. They look mountains of gray, toxic waste. And so the town's a ghost town now. The cleanup of it's still not cleaned up, and then a tornado hit town,
and then we had the May 2008 tornado, which kind of took out half the town. So with that and everything else, the federally funded buyout, and it's kind of made the population decline so sufficient that the government ain't able to stay functioning
now. 10 people live there that just refuse to move from this place with tons of birth defects, and It's a
tragedy.
I feel it kind of fits our music a little bit though, of weird, dark nihilistic stuff, and we're from Oklahoma, and it's just kind of
literal piles of waste that will kill you.
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, yeah. Yeah.
We like to rep, Oklahoma a little bit. You know, all of us have chosen to stay living here instead of being like lots of people we know and move to Austin or Denver or Portland and stuff like that, you know.
The massive piles of lead and zinc chat produced by miners remain, but only one business and just a few people are still in Pitcher, and they say they aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it until like global warming and things like that are probably like the most metal thing happening, yeah. Really.
That's something that we talked about a lot, how we kind of wanted to not, I mean, Randy writes all the lyrics, like we don't really give much input on that, but I know we kind of wanted to stay away from the typical metal tropes of just like, you know, gore and the devil and stuff like that. And like, because yeah, the impending ecological crisis, or not even impending, what's going on now is like way scarier than it's any like of that type of stuff. Terror. That's like way more important to seeing about and like channel than just us trying to do like, you know, horror movie stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
but also kind of do some horror movie
because we like horror movies.
Yeah
You guys are trying to channel a lot of different things. Is that what stood out to you about Pitcher, just like this is representative of ecological damage that we've done?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's like it's a failure, because like there's a couple documentaries on it, but it's also just a failure of like Scott Pruitt and like the EPA. Not only are we like doing these things to destroy the world, but also like actively making it worse in our attempts to make it better, and how that's really bleak.
Yeah.
Chat pile. Baby.
There's a song called Rainbow Meat, and like if you listen to the song, like you just start screaming human flesh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you ever go to Arby's and you look at, like, you lift your bun up and you look at the meat, it'll like there's something on it, or some kind of chemical that reflects like a, it's like a prism effect, and there's rainbow.
Looks
it's
like rainbow oil. Meat.
Turn my body into rainbow meat. You know,
to be sold and eaten at a fast food restaurant.
I mean, that song is kind of about, you know, like gun massacres and all the crazy stuff that's happening in the United States particularly and stuff like that. It's just like, it's kind of like, I'm saying like, I'm done, you know, let's start eating people, you know, like we're getting to that point, guys. let's do like live death sports. You know? We might as well. We're like, we're pretty much there.
Just do the Running Man starring like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's just like submit to nihilism kind of.
In Pitcher, Oklahoma, you can say, this is like heaven.
That's right.
If you choose to say that.
That's right.
Or you can walk around and say, this is hell on earth.
So how does like that kind of sense of nihilism and impending doom kind of make its way onto like the musical parts, at least?
Well, for me with playing guitar, I'm just really happy that I can play this type of stuff where I just get to play all the strings at the same time. It makes it really easy to hide any of my misplaying if we play live. Because it's like, hey, it's noise rock. I can just be as sloppy as possible and throw my guitar around. And I mean, at least for me, since I, you know, I'm only writing the guitar parts, like I like to, you know, make stuff sound as, I don't want to say like as unlike a guitar as possible, but just I want to make it sound weird and dissonant and just, you know, letting stuff ring out and using feedback and stuff like that just to try and give it a really, you know, cacophonous kind of sound. And it's the best I can do to kind of reflect the subject matter, at least in guitars. But I guess we kind of did that too with the drums, because like our drummer plays a DT Explorer, which is like an electric drum kit. It's kind of like an old crappy one too, which kind of works because it just makes it sound like a little more mechanical and like cold. And like that was a conscious choice. Remember, we were just practicing with that, and then at a band practice, we were like, "Well, what if this was just the sound? What if we didn't use like traditional drums and just, you know, not doing programming, not like sequencing and doing the it all through MIDI on the computer, but live playing of like really dated sounding electronic drums, just to give it an even more like kind of cold and
it
weird.
Sounds brutal.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Industrial. Yeah. It's very like, I know that Sten and I both are big fans of the band Godflesh. And so we wanted kind of do something like that, where it's just like the really low tuned, like dark metal stuff, but with like real, like very noticeably not real percussion going on. And I feel like it kind of fits the vibe of it.
Despite the kind of nihilism that inspires a lot of the music and the songwriting, you guys seem to maintain like a sense of humor.
Most of the stuff we do is just joke around.
We're fun guys. I think
that's what fun guys say, right?
Sure, but I think we are fun people, you know. We're not hateful people, you know.
Yeah, most of our time at practice and rehearsal and stuff is kind of just joking around. And when you're saying send my body to Arby's or, you know, stuff like that, like it's super like, you know, the intent behind the song is dark and
I mean, it's like
tragic
humor, I guess,
but like it's
say,
also
yeah.
You know, it kind of reminds me of bands like No Means No, or even, you know, like Minutemen or something, where it's like trying to be at least a little funny about stuff because it's extremely bleak otherwise. Because yeah. It'd be really lame if we were just all like sitting in the practice space just like brooding.
That's not like, what our band is at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, no. I feel like I have to try and find stuff to laugh at, because
yeah, when I'm dying of thirst in like the dust storm of 2029 here, I want to like be like, oh my god, can you believe this, guys? You know, like I mean, that's how it's gonna be for me.
Yeah, when we're all when the water wars have happened.
Yeah, it's
and
like, oh my god,
we're driving the Fury Road.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, we'll
like,
have,
remember when we were in a band?
Yeah, we'll have a good laugh.
And you guys released your first EP. It was called This Dungeon Earth. Mm-hmm. Is that a reference to more?
No, not really. I made a, it's kind of like spun off. There's this, some story I read a long time ago called If I Forgot the O-Earth. I kind of spun it off of that, I think. But they told me to come up with a title. I gave them a super long list. The one that me and Captain Ron were pushing for most was Grimace_smoking_weed.jpg. But
now that's just our Bandcamp bio.
Yeah.
I also kind of take it, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but it's kind of, it reminds me of this island Earth.
What you're observing may well be the beginning of the end for our world. The Zakon meteors are beginning to get through
the old movie that was parodied on
maybe that's where it's from,
Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
Also,
Could you guys describe the process of what it was like writing that first EP?
Yeah, a lot of it is like me and Sten and Captain Ron
just
get together and like just kind of improvise stuff, just like play riffs and improvise stuff and think of kind of like a framework of a song. Then Randy usually comes in and like will improvise lyrics over things.
Yeah, when I joined the band, though, you guys had written pretty much the first EP.
Yeah, we had most of the music done for that one.
So I just like, yeah, improvised. And then finally you tracked it or whatever, and I could like just, I worked something out. And I sort of improvised my takes. Like we kept the best takes, you know, but most of those are single takes.
Yeah, and we recorded the whole thing at Austin's house.
Sten's house.
At Sten's house. where we don't really have much like experience doing anything that isn't just extremely lo-fi recording. So that was interesting, essentially just using like Reaper, which is some free recording software, and just miking it up and seeing what works. And I think it ended up sounding pretty good.
I did too.
My girlfriend told me it sounded like a real record. So I think we succeeded with that at least. But well,
that's good.
Yeah,
good,
yeah. But yeah, we mainly just kind of just Sten and I come up with some guitar and bass parts, and then yeah, Randy Raygun improvises lyrics on top, and then we just kind of work it out.
And Captain Ron is just a beast.
Yeah,
he can conform to any mold. Yeah. Like he can literally. We made a movie like a couple years ago, and I was just like, he came to record music with us and stuff. And I was like, man, can you play blues licks and
stuff? He's a better guitarist than I am, and he's our drummer.
He laid some stuff down immediately. He's like an amazing musician, yeah.
Yeah, he's willing to do anything. We kind of just say, hey, can you do this? And he just has no problems doing anything and is just down for it. So it's pretty cool. It's been a nice, like, a change from other bands I've been in where it's been a little bit more like one person dictating everything or people arguing about stuff. It kind of just seems like, you know, we think this sounds cool. And then, you know, old Ray over here says some ridiculous stuff about like self-immolation, and then we record it. And then,
you guys talked about like some different movies, and most of them have been pretty bad. Have any movies like kind of made their way into the music?
I know for you there was one for specific, one very specific movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Crawl Space is sort of, I'm taking, have you ever seen, I think it's called Thought Crimes. It's this movie, it's called something, The Cannibal Cop. If you just type in HBO Cannibal Cop.
He's known as the Cannibal Cop. The man whose disturbing fantasies about cooking and eating women got him thrown in jail.
It's a documentary about this cop in New York who, he got busted for like cannibal like ideation. Like he didn't actually like commit a crime, but like he did go and scout and stuff, and he like there's like plans for like a spit that you could fit a human on, all this, but it's like he didn't actually commit a crime. It's a very interesting documentary.
It's not a crime to fantasize about committing crimes against people, you know.
So Crawl Space is that.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
So, I'll tell my part second, because
they've
known each other way longer than I've
known. I've known Stan and Captain Ron for, I met them when I was 19, and I'm about to turn 35, so I've known them for many years. So I've known them for a while, and I met this guy last year.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all there is to that.
I met them through, so you guys are all friends with a family, they're all friends with my cousin, with Beck. And we started doing like a board game night, and I got invited to that, and then like Stan and I hit it off, and we just like have a lot of music taste in common and comedy stuff in common. Like a lot of the stuff we talk about at practice isn't really music related. We talk a lot about bad movies and stuff more than anything, but
getting to arguments about Talladega Nights,
yeah,
which is a great movie.
It's not good. I was kind of just like bullying Sten. I was just like, yo, we should jam sometime. And then finally we did that, and then that went well. We were just like playing guitar and drum to like, or guitar and bass to a drum machine, and then he asked old Captain Ron to come in and play some drums. And then we didn't know what we were going to do with vocals at all, because none of us, we're all cowards and don't want anyone to look at us when we're on stage. So I think we had some party or something. And I'm pretty sure me and Sten, like, we're just like, hey, do you want to be in the band and like be insane?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yep. And then you came to the next practice.
I've been waiting my whole life for you to ask me that question.
I think the general idea when we first started was, I remember we really wanted to not make complicated music.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a lot of like math rock bands and like ridiculous stuff like that, where I'm just having to think so hard about playing. And it's been I know that like we joke around about playing dumb guy metal. It's like stuff Beavis and Butthead would like.
In my opinion, they still are kind of complicated songs.
But then we're still just like, we need a corn breakdown in this song.
Yeah, well, like, whatever. Sometimes you need a corn breakdown.
Yeah, man. It's time to bring back corn. We're the corn defenders.
We are sort of corn defenders. Children of the corn, if you will.
Stan is a avowed corn.
Stan owns every corn album on vinyl. And I mean every corn album.
Path of Totality, the dubstep one with Skrillex.
Yeah, he does. He literally has that on vinyl. I'm pretty sure. I know he has like a stack. I once, years ago, as we call it the Corn Challenge, it's sort of legendary within our group of friends, me and Stan listened to all Corn albums, because I swore to him that Corn had no good material. And I still think they have maybe,
it's mostly bad,
an album and a half's worth of good material over like 10 or whatever, 15 albums.
Yeah. But still, like, even though, like, it's, we kind of joke around about, like, the nu metal stuff, it's just, I kind of like taking some of those vibes and making it, you know, something that people are, I don't want to say, like, not embarrassed to listen to, because I'm not embarrassed to listen to anything like that, but just, like, make it a little, like, weirder and less, you know, Jonathan Davis in a full Adidas tracksuit wearing Pumas. And
it's sort of like you can have, you know, like, okay, when you have something that you're like, oh, I love this as a kid, and you show it to somebody and you haven't listened to it or watched it yourself in 10 years, and you're like, uh-oh, this isn't very good. But then, you know, it's kind of like what we're doing is like taking what we remember to be good about these kinds of bands and then just rebuilding it, recontextualizing it into something that is not as ugly and maybe a little like it seems right to be in 2019.
In Rat Boy, there's like kind of like this middle part where Ray is just like, you're not even saying words. You're just like screaming as Rat Boy. Cause that's another in character song where he has taken the persona of Rat Boy.
Rat Boy.
But it's like the dun 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 dun. We play in like drop A. So it's like super low tuned. Like,
the first chorus is just screaming.
Yeah.
Rat Boy is straight up, this movie called Star Time. It's sort of obscure. It's this great, like, fake David Lynch, like, horror movie. It's a great, like, L.A. movie from, like, 1990. There's this wonderful shot in Star Time where it shows this woman asleep, but it pans up and he is in the darkness with an axe, wearing like a baby mask, just laying in the dark by her bed while she sleeps.
Just being a weird voyeur.
Yeah. And then there's all these all these shots of like him like perched on her dresser, staring at her while she sleeps and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like a very creepy movie. It's really good.
It's supposed to be like a creepy song, you know, about like that whole song's kind
of it's not an endorsement of the actions of Rat Boy. No. And Rat Boy does the right thing. He kills himself at the end. So.
Yeah, instead of her, he forces her to watch him kill himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens to Rat Boy.
Yeah. Artist doing like a 4-panel comic that is going to be of Rat Boy that we're going to put on a shirt, which will be cool.
It will be cool.
We saw a rough sketch of it the other day, and I'm pretty excited for that. I think it'll be a little different than typical metal band shirt type stuff. If it's like a weird kind of super dark line 4-panel comic of a weird rat man hiding underneath a sofa looking at a couple embracing each other. The other two are
just kind of like my brain.
Yeah. But that is something I feel like we talk about movies more than anything.
Yeah.
Like when we're all in a group together, that's something that
it's probably the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Period, you know, like, I don't know.
I mean, we all meet up to watch movies like every week.
Have you guys been to Pitcher, Oklahoma?
We've talked about it. We haven't been up there, but
just sacrificing our health.
Yeah,
for
just
like
wear
a photo or whatever.
We thought about that, but then also I was like talking to my dad about it. He's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. I'm like, it'll be fine. It's not like I'm gonna get like lead poisoning being out there for like 20 minutes, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You know, like just like it's a windy day. And
yeah,
just,
I mean, you never know. It's
we
Oklahoma.
All die in like 5 years from like lung infection
we all get
or something.
Mesothelioma.
Yeah.
No, I do want to check it out though. If anyone listening to this hasn't seen it, you should at least Google it, because it's really like weird to even look at. Just like this ghost town with these huge piles of like gray, just toxic waste dust everywhere that are like, some of them are like hundreds of feet tall. Yeah. Like it's crazy.
It is.
People would like sled down them. Like kids would like play on them in like the 70s and 80s. Like it's just, it's gnarly.
Everybody lived for the first big snow. So you go chat pile and sled down the chat piles. You know, it was wonderful.
It's like a trauma movie or something.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, yeah.
There's like, I know there's like a group of people that refuse to leave, and there's like a Facebook group or something. They're like proud pitcher people that like, you know.
Well, there's people at Chernobyl that refuse to leave too, yeah. Right?
I mean, I get it. You know, for some people, you know, home is home.
The chat piles and things of that nature was always a big draw for us when we were riding our motorcycles or different things.
I mean, I don't know if that's irony, but just like the last thing you would possibly do is literally like bury yourself in toxic waste. And they just had like 10-year-olds doing it every day. it's crazy.
Makes your skin crawl.
Yeah, we thought about going out there, but I don't know. I don't know how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
Also, that might be a little like voyeuristic in a bad way, maybe.
Yeah.
The name chat pile, that's not supposed to be like funny or a joke or anything. It just, because we did want it to be something dark and also that relates to where we're from, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's just more just some of the lyrical content and just kind of hopefully the vibe we put off is not as ridiculously serious.
Well, yeah, naming our band chat pile is kind of, I mean, the idea of a chat pile is funny, sort of, you know, but like going to the actual chat pile and being like throwing up like peace signs and stuff in front of it, that's maybe like,
yeah, that's
over
tacky.
The line.
That's probably tacky.
Yeah.
You said that you like improv like most of the lyrics, or if not all of them.
Uh-huh.
Are there any like lyrics that didn't make the cut?
Oh, yeah, there's other takes.
Especially Crawl Space, the last one. We have a whole take that's like a completely different version.
It's not about like thinking about killing people. It's about like killing people, basically.
Yeah, that was like one of the only notes I think we've given on lyrics. It's just like maybe on that one
Which
be a little less.
Which did infuriate me, to be completely honest with you guys. It made me extremely angry, but...
I remember just like one in that. I actually listened to that version the other day, and like in that song, you like talk about like in the one that we released, you talk about like praising Jesus and stuff. And in the first take, it was, you know, hailing Satan and stuff like that.
Right.
It was just way more over the top. And just,
I like the idea of him being like, I'm trying to be a good Christian, you know, but I just can't stop thinking about what flesh might taste like, you know, like
in the first version was more. I know what flesh tastes like.
Yeah.
One, maybe two takes on most of those, right?
Yeah.
And then you just kind of listen to them
and then kind of
memorize
like,
what you did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is, I like that style of
I do too. And I think like
I think
for this kind of music, what am I going to do? Sit and like write, like I'm like on the bus, like an 8 Mile, just like scribbling down all my poetry that I'm going to like.
It says Rat Boy and it's underlined
it's like,
10 times.
Yeah, I have like a full on calligraphy pen out and I'm like, you know.
You have your quill.
What kind of headspace were you in when you were writing some of these songs?
Despite the fact that I'm an extremely fun guy and like, you know, everything, you know, I've got my demons, you know, like. I can go to a dark place if I need to, and yeah, I mean, it honestly, mentally, it takes a little bit of a toll on you to do something that is so, like, extreme, you know?
So when you guys put out that, like, first EP, what were the kind of expectations?
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
I've put out so many things and done literally nothing with them, had no interest whatsoever, so.
Yeah, I've been in a lot of bands that have... either put something out before I was in the band, so like I wasn't on that recording, or in the middle of recording, or like, oh, you know, we're about to start recording, you know, we have all these songs, we've played a few shows, we're going to start recording the thing, the band breaks up, or the last, I lived in Buffalo, New York for a long time, and I ended up moving back here, and that kind of broke up my band that I was in. So this was for me, like really the first, like my only goal was I just wanted a piece of music that I helped write, that was released, that people could listen to, that that's pretty much it. Like, the having people listen to it would be extremely nice, but it was more just I wanted like a thing that I could like say, you know, this is something I helped make. And that's the entire end goal for me.
We can enjoy it. Me too.
Was just that.
Yeah.
And then luckily it seems like maybe there was a drought of weird noisy metal in Oklahoma City, at least, because people have been pretty positive about it, which has been extremely shocking, especially because none of us were really expecting that.
It's still kind of, I mean, it blows my mind a little bit that we got somebody in Spain that owns our tape, that paid money for our tape or whatever. Like, and like this, like this blog in Portugal, like interviewed me or whatever, like a week or two ago. It's just like, all right, like fair enough. It's just weird because we played like one show so far, but I feel like I'm at the point where, I've been making good music for years. It's like, finally.
Yeah. Finally, you know, something like, happened.
Yeah. Of course it's good. Thanks.
Do you think it's because at all that you guys didn't really invest too much?
Yeah, I do think that actually is a part of it, because just like trying to go with it, just write some songs. And like, I've definitely been in bands where we're trying to do stuff with the intention of having people listen to it. I mean, obviously when you're making stuff, you want people, like if you're making any art, you want people to observe it, you know, but I've definitely done some like indie rock bands and stuff that was more about like, hey, let's maybe write some music that could maybe get some like licensing stuff and get put in stuff, which like that sucked, man.
Yeah,
like that was not fun.
Yeah.
And, at the end of the day, we were kind of like, we just want to make some dumb stuff that's fun to play at practice and then record it and see if it sounds good. I think we did it like backwards in all the stuff that I'd previously done, which was write music, play shows, then record. But we've done write music, record, you know, then play. So we're about to start, you know, our plan for the rest of the year and going into next year is to try and play as many shows as possible, essentially, and just get booked on stuff, which should be easier.
Maybe
now.
Play towns like Denton.
Yeah, Denton.
Lawrence.
The goal is kind of just keep it in this kind of region. Yeah, you know, Oklahoma through Kansas and Missouri and North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's the phase we're in now. Like, we are writing another, like, 4 or 5 track thing, but, like, now is the let's do the live stuff.
I have this quote that Austin Tackett said in the Oklahoma Gazette. He said
that's
that
Sten,
yeah,
by
big
the
Sten.
Way.
Yeah.
Sten for those really in the know. He said that you guys have to face the fact that you're a metal band. Like, could you guys explain a little bit more what that means?
Well, there's a band called AC that has a lot of crazy song titles. That's a way to put that.
How
I
much
guess.
Can we swear on this?
They can't really swear at all. So the band they're referring to, their name is just way too vulgar, but they're also referred as AXCX. If anyone above the age of 16 wants to go search them up.
They have a song called Face It, You're a Metal Band.
Here's the song. You probably can't tell that somewhere in here are the lyrics. You're not avant-garde, you're not punk rock, and then skipping over some of the more explicit parts. You're not something special. You're not something new. Face it, you're a metal band. And the entire song is just 10 seconds long.
Basically, that's what he's referencing, but it's also like true to our lives.
Yeah, he's like making fun of these bands that are like, you know, trying to not be pigeonholed as, you know, well, we're not a metal band. You know, we're arty.
We're
different.
We're a hardcore band.
Yeah.
We're a noise rock
like,
band.
It's like, nah, man, you're just like, because that's what, when Sten and I were first like trying to come up with stuff, we're like, yeah, let's play noise rock, man. We're going to do noise because we both love stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we're just playing like super low tune stuff with like breakdowns. And
at the CD store, it'd be in the metal
section. It'd be in the metal section. Like, it would be on Beavis and Butthead.
We have
a headbang to
black
it.
Metal blob as our logo or whatever.
And we did that on purpose too, because it doesn't fit as much with our sound, like our weird logo, which is definitely just looks like some black metal band. But like, we wanted to do that because it's kind of like the juxtaposition of the art that we used, which was a picture that Sten took. That's like, do you know where that billboard is?
It's on Linwood Avenue.
Yeah, the one that says hot dogs cause cancer. But we wanted
right
that
down the street. It's west of Penn on Linwood.
So like, the album cover would make you think it's probably just some like art rock band, but then it has this like weird black metal blob on top. So you can't really tell. I feel like that kind of like is what the music is too.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to talk to people about like, when they're like, so, you know, what kind of music is it? It's like, yeah,
it's metal.
It's metal. I mean, it's metal. It's just noisy, but yeah, at the end of the day, it's metal. You know, I'm not like when my coworkers are like, so, you know, what's the band? I'm like, exactly. You know what? It's like some, you know, we're taking a lot of like, you know, post-industrial yeah. like vibes, you know, mixing it with like microtonal noise rock influences, but you know, just from like the first wave, it's like, oh man, it's just metal.
Personally, I don't really listen to metal. Yeah. Like when I think metal, it's sort of like,
which I love, by the way, that you're not a big metal guy.
Yeah. But I do like a lot of, like when I think about it, it's like, oh, but I do like love a lot of like some metal bands, like some of my favorite bands, like Metallica or Merciful Fate or Black Sabbath or something like that. But it's like blues is another one for me where I just have this thing where I immediately think of a sound, you yeah. know, and I'm like, but if I really think about it, it's like, no, I like love so much like blues or metal or whatever, you know.
Do you think the residents of like Pitcher would enjoy your music?
I mean,
if they like metal,
yeah,
I bet
they got ears.
Yeah, I bet there's definitely some people up there that dig this, like, you know, would be like, whoa, hell yeah.
I would hope that they would realize that we're not making fun of the situation up there.
No.
Especially because, like, whenever any of us say our band name, it usually is followed by, like, oh, what's that mean?
Exactly.
And then we explain what yeah. it is and, like, There's all kinds of things going on across the world, but that's something that like it's really messed up. But yeah, hopefully if anyone is still living in Pitcher and they hear our band, let them know we're not making fun of them. Hey, we're a dark, scary.
We're just band. Like, you know, a couple fun dudes. Well, thank you so much for having
us,
man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's been a pleasure. You can follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Chatpile Music.
Band.
Chatpile Band. Oh, my goodness. At Chatpile Band on Instagram.
Yeah, chatpile.bandcamp.com.
We'll definitely let you know if we have a show on that.
Yeah, our Bandcamp is a great... We're on all the music stuff on Spotify and Apple Music.
We have like 3 songs for our next EP.
We have 3 finished ones, I think, and then...
We're working.
We like 2 more.
Yeah.
But I would like to have that out by like maybe October.
That was the interview. But if anyone is wondering, Pitcher or the Tar Creek Superfund site is still being cleaned. And as Joe Wirtz reported for State Impact,
cleanup at the Tar Creek Superfund site will take decades. The environment may never be completely restored.
I want to be remembered as, you know, that we wasn't just a place of, you know, more or less like a leech that sucked everyone's tax dollars money for the Superfund site. You know, where it was a small community, just like any other rural community in Oklahoma or anywhere in the United States.
They should have built a monument here to the town instead of trying to tear it down.